welcome, everybody, to episode 431 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, the Frosted One himself, the Mug. Breakman the Bold is on assignment this week. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm hanging in there.
That's a little hesitant, Mug. Probably
very quick to say, hanging in there.
Yeah, I know, man. That's all we can do. How about you, Eric?
I'm doing all right, I guess. Yeah. My throat issue with my post-nasal drip, it's still persisting, and I'm almost out of medicine, so I'm wondering if I have to get more. But it's better than it was a week ago.
Wow, that's good. I got post-nasal drip syndrome, too, and I never got medicine for it. So they just say, go get some nasal spray from the store. I'm like, fuck you. I don't want to do that.
All it really did was, like, loosen it up so that I don't choke on my own mucus.
Yeah, that's about all you can do with that shit, man. Well, we got tons of news to talk about this week, guys. Lots happened, just a ton of shit to get to. So why don't we get started with the news, Eric?
Right. From Gematsu, we have Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, launches July 18th. It says it's an open-world adventure game from Prideful Sloth. Launched on the PlayStation 4 and PC on July 18th, and it's developed by a team of former Rocksteady developers and an Activision producer. Excuse me. Follows a youth shipwrecked on the shores of Gamia, an expansive locale with eight different environments, each offering its own wildlife and ecosystem, ranging from sunny sandy beaches to rolly grassy plains and steep snow-capped mountains.
Sort of looks like a cheap version of Zelda, maybe a Skyward Sword Zelda, you know what I mean? Or like a combination of Skyward Sword and what was that other one where they were sailing on the ocean?
Wind Waker,
yeah. Sort of looks like that aesthetically. I don't know how it plays, but it looks okay.
Yeah, looks nice enough. Yeah.
All right, Mug, you want to do the next – or actually the first story that Eric skipped?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, coming to us live from Gematsu, Rhyme launches May 26th for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and this summer for Switch. It will be $29.99 US, €34.99 Euros, and £29.99. Switch version will launch physically and digitally later this summer for $39.99 US dollars, €44.99 Euros, and £39.99. Graybox did not mention why the Switch version costs more, but we've contacted the publisher for comment and are awaiting a response. Update. Their response was, we set prices for our product based on the cost of development and publishing for each specific platform.
Oh, hold on a second.
It is probably more expensive to produce those little cartridges.
Is it? That's an interesting thing.
Well, if it's anything like a 3DS cart, the cart itself costs $13 to manufacture. A PS Vita cart costs $8 to manufacture.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that has nothing, that doesn't have anything to do with the development cost. That is a per cart cost.
Why is it so expensive? Because I know SD cards are like super cheap. Like you can.
Yeah, and these are smaller than 3DS cartridges.
Yeah, I don't know why the price on that. That's weird.
The physical size of it doesn't really have anything to do with it. It's the actual manufacturing product. Because it's not just using SD technology.
Yeah.
But anyway, their little description of it says, Rhyme is a single player puzzle adventure game about discovery, experience through the eyes of a young boy who awakens on a mysterious island after shipwrecking off its coast. Players must navigate the island's secrets by making use of light, sound, perspective, and even time. Inspired by the rugged, sun-baked terrain of the Mediterranean coast, Rhyme paints its breathtaking world with a fusion of vibrant colors and moving musical undertones to set the stage for the deeply personal journey that awaits within.
The content better be good, because aesthetically it doesn't even look as good as the last game we talked about. You know?
Yeah, it looks very rough around
the edges. Well, it's been in development for quite a while, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just mean like it looks like an alpha. Just aesthetically, it's like the lighting engine is not there yet.
Yeah. Maybe the lighting will be better on this next game coming to us from Gematsu. Oh, I wish Breakman was here to pronounce this. Utaware Rumono, Mask of Deception, launches May 23rd in the Americas and Europe. Atlas has announced in the Americas, both versions will be available physically and digitally, while in Europe, the PS Vita version will be digital only. In the Americas, pre-orders and launch copies of the game will include the following: an art book, 50 pages, and a collector's slipcase. When did slipcases become like a fucking
thing? I hate slipcases.
Yeah,
I don't like them either.
I don't like nobody likes.
I throw that shit away when I get the game.
Right, it's stupid.
I should have probably kept mine for Final Fantasy X HD remaster on PS3 though. I mean, yeah. I need to find someone who will buy that version off of me.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I have the PS4 and the Steam versions already. I don't need the PS3 version.
Let's see. Atlas also released a new story trailer in Mask of Deception. Protagonist Haku wakes up to an unfamiliar fantasy world before getting involved in a war. And then there's an overview of the trailer. If you want to know what it's about, go check it out at Gamatsu. All right, Eric, you're up next.
All right. This is about Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. I thought this was also going to come to PC, but oh well.
It is.
This is launch a few weeks later, but that's weird because usually they got these things locked down for around the same time. But April 18th is the date, and they also teased that a last surprise will be announced March 22, so it's probably another game announcement.
Yeah, either that or some DLC. All right.
I don't know if they'll do DLC for a remake of a classic video game.
You never know. You
never know.
All right, Mug, you're up.
All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu. Summon Night 6. Launch Lost Borders will launch physically and digitally for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in North America.
Did Donald Trump come up with that name? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We'll launch on May 23rd, according to publisher Gaijin Works. The game is aiming for a simultaneous digital-only release in South America and Europe, but notes that it doesn't appear on the PlayStation – that if it doesn't appear on the PlayStation Store on May 23rd, then it will appear very soon after. The PS4 physical version will ship in Raj, Amu, and Ist editions. Each edition has a different character artwork on the disc and on the back of the box. The PS Vita physical version will not ship in multiple editions. And I'm assuming that I got this weird flashback to like 90s Marvel, you know, like there's the random collectible covers. Like, let's get people to buy like six copies of the same goddamn comic.
Oh man, Image was the worst at that, man. I used to have to buy like four or five comics for the same thing until I just ran out of money. I'm like, fuck this.
Hang on. Let's scroll down a little bit. A fourth packaging variant is being produced exclusively for the Wonderful Edition box set that was only available by pre-orders placed prior to December 2016. The initial print run of Summon Night 6 physical copies will include a special voucher that can be mailed in along with a $3.95 shipping and handling fee to obtain a free copy of – Jesus Christ, people can't spell – a free copier of the game's original soundtrack on CD, which is normally $29.99. The CD includes all of the music from the game and comes with a case and full-color disc art, both of which are different from the soundtrack CD included with the Wonderful Edition box set. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
English-language studio recording sessions for the game are complete. It's over 18 hours of dialogue, 20,000 individual lines of dialogue, and over 60,000 lines of text. Here is the list of English voice actors.
A lot of working designs... holdouts from back in that day are actually here. Like John Truitt's here, the voice of Galleon from Lunar. And the person who I think also did Heroes also here. But there's plenty of other anime characters or anime. And Ronnie Gibson from Lunar is here.
There's some really good talent. There's a too big of a list to go through, but there's some good talent there for sure. Voice acting. So
Eric Mendez is here.
Yeah, Summon Night 6 is. I'm excited for that. I like the Summon Night series quite a bit. All right.
Have you ever played the non-strategy RPGs though?
No, I haven't. I played the action RPGs. All right. This next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Kyoto Winds launches May 16th in North America, May 19th in Europe.
I forgot the first name of that, I think.
Yeah, it's Hakuoki Kyoto Winds. Let's see. The game will be compatible with PlayStation TV, which who gives a shit? Games remastered.
I do.
You do? I really don't care.
Actually, you'd be surprised if a fair amount.
I'd rather play a visual novel on the couch, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess.
Just having it on the go means that you should probably just buy the Vita version then.
Yeah. So, and then it just gives you a bunch about the game. Visual novel, standard fare. All right, let's see. Who'd I skip? Mug or Eric?
I think you skipped Eric.
All right, Eric, your turn.
God War's Future Past has been delayed to June 20th in North America and June 16th in Europe, following the delay in Japan, which was originally supposed to come out March, I think, like late March. I don't think there was an exact date for it. I think it was supposed to be 23rd, though. But that's a long time.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Mug.
All right, coming to us again from Gematsu. Tokyo Xanadu for PS Vita launches June 30th. The company did not clarify, Access Games did not clarify whether the release date applies to Europe as well as America. Update that this is the projected North American release date and the European release date will be synced up as close to North America as possible. This is an enhanced version of the RPG Tokyo Xanadu lowercase e uppercase x plus, and I personally think that that's how you should say it aloud anytime you see it.
Whatever.
Will launch for PlayStation 4 and PC via Steam this fall. Both games will be available in standard and limited edition.
Strangely, it omits the mention of the PS3 version. I'm assuming it's coming out the same day the Vita version is.
I got a question for Mug. Mug, is Gematsu anything in Japanese, or is it just a play on game?
It's nonsense.
Okay, all right. Let's go to the next nonsense story, Eric.
Tokyo Twilight Ghost Hunters Daybreak Special Gigs. Yes, that's almost the whole title. It's Missing World Tour, but it's coming to PC via Steam on March 17th. So if you don't have this game on the PlayStation Vita or the PS3 or the PS4, you can get it on Steam.
That's cool. I didn't even know that they had
March 17th this game. Is the date.
I didn't even know they had this game.
I didn't mention that already. But
I'd be interested in getting this game because it has some RPG battle system elements.
I'd recommend just getting the Vita version if you have a Vita because the game does not – it's stupidly – missed a second opportunity to correct the mistake from the first version, which did not include cross-saving capabilities.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So if you want to play and you have a choice between playing it at home and taking it on the go, and the Vita TV in tandem can do both. So I just get the Vita version because it's not like the game's visuals are going to improve.
Yeah. All right. Next story from also Gematsu. The Alliance Alive, delayed to June 22nd in Japan. Furyu has delayed 3DS fantasy RPG The Alliance Alive from its previously announced March 30th release date in Japan to June 22nd. The company said that although development has been progressing on the title, it has determined that further quality improvements are necessary in order to make the game more satisfying. To apologize for the delay, users who pre-order the game will receive a special soundtrack album CD and a set of 5 3DS themes. If you missed it, there's an update that you can check out. So it still probably will make its way over here probably next year, I'm guessing. Because it's usually about, 6 to 8 months, depending on certain
roughly
things. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Eric, go for it.
So this one is Bloodstained Ritual Night coming to the Switch, and that's all there really is to mention about that.
Oh, cool.
I'm not even sure that counts as news. I mean, yeah. I don't think anybody was expecting it to still come to the Wii U.
Well, the biggest news here is that it makes no mention of the Wii U version or the Vita versions being canceled. So those are still on.
Oh,
and I might still get that version because I do believe that the Wii U version will have gamepad support. So having the map on the screen and shit would be nice.
It might be worth it to get the Wii U version just because it's probably going to be the last.
But then again, this is coming in 2018, so it doesn't matter.
Anyway, if it's a physical edition, it'll be one of the last few games. It might be worth just hanging on and leaving it sealed up and sell it in a few years, like massively rare collector's edition. Because I saw something which reminds me, I was looking at this stuff on YouTube, and apparently I didn't even know that it existed, but there was a port to the NES of Bonk's Adventure from the TurboGrafx, and it came out in like 1994.
I thought that was a completely new game.
No, they're Super Bonk 1 and 2. Those are completely new games on the Super Nintendo. The original Bonk's Adventure on the NES is a port of the original game. And I was like, this game is really hard to find. I was like, is it? And then like, when did it come out? 94. It's like, oh, wow, that was like nearly the end of the Super Nintendo's lifespan. Mm-hmm. But I looked it up on eBay, and it's regularly going for about $600 to
$800. Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty rare. Yeah.
Dungeon Buster just joined us in chat.
We're probably open it anyways. I'm not a collector.
What's up, Dungeon?
I'm not scalp people for it.
Sometimes I do if I have multiple copies of something, which happens from time to time.
Scalpers are scum, and they all need to die.
No, I don't need to die. I need extra money. That's what I need. Freak 5 just joined the chat. What's up, Freak 5? All right, on to the next story, Mug. Oh, did you just do this one, Mug, Bloodstained?
No, That was Eric just did that one.
Yeah, go do the next one, please.
All right. Coming to us live from the site which must not be named, Bulky Knight brings NES-like Metroidvania exploration to Greenlight with Cathedral, which is an NES-inspired action exploration game with hidden areas, secret items, buried charms, and crumbling dungeons. And it is raising votes on Greenlight for an eventual Steam release. And it's weird. It has this kind of look sort of like...
it looks like an Amiga game.
It's more like it's kind of more Shovel Knight than straight NES. Or maybe it kind of reminds me of, Blaster Master Zero. You guys have seen the footage of that.
Yeah.
But in Cathedral, players are given a large world to explore, playing as an amnesiac knight who's trying to get back his memory while banishing evil. That's not generic at all. By using swords, magic, and the help of his companion, Soul, he just might be able to do so, pogo-stabbing enemies along the way, DuckTales style. So it's a Metroidvania Shovel Knight.
It sort of looks like that, and there's a game, I think it was called Wizards and Warriors. It sort of looks like that as well. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Shovel Knight comparison, although Shovel Knight looks a little more polished than this one does. But it might be fun. It might be really, really fun. Freak 5 says, scalpers are assholes. No, they are not. They're smart business people. All right, next story comes to us.
It doesn't change the fact that they're assholes.
Maybe there's some of that. Next story comes to us from Silicon Era. Compile Hearts ask if you're Team Boobs or Team Butt in latest trailer countdown. Damn, Breakman would have lost his shit with this game.
You can go with Team Butt because those love handles.
Yeah.
They're important.
Compile Heart has gone up with another naughty teaser site, and this time it features a countdown that asks fans to choose which side they're on out of Team Boobs and Team Butt. Oh, God, how low have we've gone here. The website asked visitors...
Dude, what do you mean, how low we've gone? We've lived here for decades.
The website asks visitors to select whether they're on Team Boobs or Team Butt. You can put in your vote by simply pressing the buttons underneath.
This is a Japanese website, by the way.
Yeah, underneath the image with Team Boobs on the left, Team Butt on the right. So far, it's a pretty close one, so every vote counts. The winning side's underwear will be removed from the above. And I see. So, I got it. I would definitely hit boobs because... And I'm surprised that it's close in Asia. Don't they prefer boobs over butt? Because Asians don't have the biggest, you know, derrieres in the world.
I don't have the biggest boobs in the world. So.
Yeah, that's true. But I'd rather see nipples. I don't know. That's just me. Let's see. What else is on this? As for the game itself, it'll be revealed.
Oh, right. There's a game involved.
There's a game. I know. We've spent like 5 minutes talking about the choice of boobs or ass. And yes, there's a game. It'll be revealed at the Dengeki Game Festival 2017 on March 12th. If you look closely, there's also Auton on the image. I don't know what that is. Considering
it's a character from Moe Chronicle.
Oh, I got you. Considering the Genkai Toki series mascot is there, we can assume that'll be a new entry to the series. We'll keep you guys updated on what happens, and so will RP Grinders. That last part.
Well, he's also showed up in Genkai Toki too, so there's that.
All right, Eric. Next story. I'm voting boobs, though. Just to let you know.
I'm gonna have to go with boobs. I mean, and for general purposes,
Genkai Toki is. I think that's like the name of the overall series, and like Moe Chronicle and Moe Crystal are part of that series.
Anyway, for general purposes, I generally prefer. It's like I'm a leg man. You know.
That's interesting. People have their preferences. Mine is definitely boobs. I'm trying to reach out.
Well, the nice thing about being a leg man is that you're much more likely to see an exposed leg than anything else just walking around.
I guess that makes sense. But sometimes you'll catch side boob or even
butts forever, man.
Dungeon Buster says I'm with Team Just Make a Good RPG.
Well, there's no guarantee that they're actually making an RPG. This is Compile Heart. They could be making anything. But most of the games are RPGs, so it probably is.
Freak Five's talking about jacking up prices as being a dick move. He's like, I don't know, have you seen Minka? Though I guess hers are fake. Yeah, Minka is cool. Let's see, Freak Five, he's talking about Asian boobs. There are other Asian porn stars I've seen with big natural boobs. Yeah, but that's porn stars. Like the norm is small butt, small boobs. That's kind of the norm in Japan. Yeah.
Tanaka's also, I think she's only ever in softcore.
No, she's like a bukkake star.
She is.
Who is?
Tomi Tanaka.
Well, I mean, whenever I find uncut videos of her, it's always softcore stuff. I never found any hardcore stuff.
Huh. That's like all I've seen is like just, you know, she's just basically just plastered. Like she looks like Jackson Pollock's easels, basically what we're going for.
I'm gonna look this up. Let's see.
I don't think she's very pretty. Like she's Asian and she's got big tits, and that's kind of her claim to fame.
She's all right. She's curvy. You know, her face is not the greatest, but she's kind of curvy. It's not bad. Not bad.
Well, she's not bad looking. It's just that she's not like stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, she's not, you know, all worldly. She's no Scarlett Johansson or anything. Freak Pipe says, I like it all. Tits, ass, or legs. Yeah, I think we all do.
And I'm especially fond of...
That's what's wrong with this whole Compile Heart poll. It's like there's no they have a discard in the middle of the why not all of it.
Dude, like how Dungeon bitch. Buster says, if I'm with team, if I want to be teased, I'll go to a strip club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's much cheaper.
You probably won't get localized.
Much cheaper to buy porn or buy a game than go to the strip club, Dungeon Buster, for sure.
I mean, it's not like we got any of the Genkai Toki games, so whatever.
All right.
At least, they'll probably put it on Steam because they won't have to worry about ratings there.
All right. Let's go on to the next story. Mug.
All right. Coming to us live from that site. Cheapest Dragon's Dogma and Street Fighter V in March PC sale. It's a mishmash of random deals with the meh theme of most played games, but some of the discounts are really worth checking out in this sale from digital retailer GMG. They've slashed prices on titles like Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen, Street Fighter V, Stellaris, Killing Floor 2, and more. Before Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen, and Stellaris Galaxy Edition, we're seeing historic low price points on the PC version.
This is all way in homie discounts land, by the way. We just skipped the articles.
This is an article.
No, this isn't the articles.
No. Wait a minute. Yeah, I might have the incorrect. Yeah, I have the incorrect link.
You put the wrong URL there.
That's right.
But anyway, Dragon's Dogma was previously $12 during Steam Store's 2016 winter sale, making the sale price of $10.29 almost 15% cheaper. Similar situation with the most expensive version of Stellaris Galaxy Edition, which includes the base game, an exclusive alien race, form avatar, soundtrack, novel, and collector's book. All the Stellaris lore you could want is now $10 less than the list price of the base game. And finally, Street Fighter V is $17. That is near historic low price, off by only 50 cents from its previous discount during a Capcom sale last month.
There we go.
This is some breaking news here. Dungeon Buster says he knows someone that works at a strip club. So, wow, dude.
Yeah, I, dude, if to- I if I want to have a woman strip for me, my girlfriend will do it.
So. I know that, but damn, dude, that's like that's access right there, Dungeon. I need to go where Dungeon is, and we need to hang out.
Don't you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, so what? I can look at other people's boobs.
Like, I didn't know Frank had a girlfriend. I thought he was still looking for one.
No, I definitely have a girlfriend, but I'm a free guy. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Strip club? Yeah, I'm down. I'm down, Dungeon.
Are they ever going to make a guest appearance?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things go. Dungeon, hook it up, bro.
I know. So maybe you could bring her to the strip club because the strippers are always more comfortable when you've got a girl in your crew.
Yeah, that's true too. I'll work on that. Dungeon Buster says, "Yay!"
I might buy Dragon's Dogma, but I'm not sure.
I like Dragon's Dogma. Like
I smell a road trip, Frank.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Road trip to Dungeon Buster's house, man. All right, Dragon's Dogma. I want to pick that up. Do they have a version for the PS4 yet or no?
No. They made it for PS3 and the 360, and they ported it to PC sometime after. And they haven't made a next-gen version.
Not true, Freak 5. I'm not going to mention what he said.
Frank's right. Girlfriend is named Lefty.
Shut up, son of a bitch. First, you hit us with the harmonica.
And that's right. Her name is Rosie Palm. I mean, come on.
Yeah, get out of here. You guys are stupid. All right. You son of a bitch. Next story comes to us. I'll do it again. Comes to us from Silicon Era. Away, Journey to the Unexpected is a first-person roguelike, which Mug hates. During the Nindies Nintendo Direct on February 28th, a mysterious title appeared among the list of independent games headed to the Nintendo Switch. No information could be found about Away, Journey to the Unexpected until now. Turns out it's a first-person roguelike, and that's interesting. From Playdius for the Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. In the game, players traverse a 3D world populated with 2D characters. Each of these characters your avatar runs across can be recruited as you go through the game, adding them as playable allies. Wow, that's kind of a cool little concept. I played Wizardry... The Forsaken Tale, I believe, was the name of that one. And this reminds me of that. That's kind of cool. I don't know. Might be pretty good. What do you guys think?
Possibly, but, you know, again, you know me and roguelikes.
Yeah, I know.
As long as they let you keep your level when you die, that'll be all good for you, won't it?
Yeah. Dungeon maybe. Buster says that was a while ago. I'm actually not sure what they are doing now. Probably strung out on heroin, I'm guessing, Dungeon Buster. Freak 5 says, I have a friend who used to work at a strip club. After she quit, she mentioned that working at a different job, she realized she had started dancing while working to the song she uses to strip to. Right on, Freak 5, right on. All right.
I'm sure that was fun for anybody who was in the bar at the time.
Yeah, sure. Eric.
I think we heard about this game back in October, or maybe yeah. we just missed it. But
no, we covered it before.
Yeah.
This is talking about how you could build facilities to train magic students for combat with Valtherian Arc Red Covenant, which I don't think this game has anything to do with Valtheria, which we on Valtheria Online, which we had an interview like years ago with that guy.
Valkyria.
Valtheria.
No, the game that the developer that we was for the game Valkyria, not Valtheria.
Yeah, but I think that was the name of the game, though.
No, Valkyria was the name, not Valtheria.
No, you're wrong.
No, I'm not. I am definitely not wrong on this, Eric.
No, it was Valhira. That's right.
Valhira. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Valhira.
I was still right.
Yeah, well.
I just couldn't remember.
No,
I thought about it for a bit.
Guys,
we were both
equally wrong.
Yep, we were both equally wrong.
We're both stupid to excuse our dumbness.
About there, you barnacle Dungeon Buster says. I'm missing an article.
Anyways, it just reminded me of that game for whatever reason. But it says, cast players as a headmaster of a magical school, choosing which facilities and classes to build during simulation periods before taking those trained students out into the field for live-action combat where they die horribly.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Anyways, it looks Diablo-ish, but it also looks turn-based.
Oh, cool. I missed this Valtherian arc one, so let's move on to the next story. Monk.
That's because the link was broken. It was a different link.
All right. Gotcha. It's like I love the title of this one. This is coming to us from Gematsu. The Caligula Effect launches May 2nd in the Americas and Europe, and sadly, the game is not going to be nearly as interesting as the title makes it sound.
Right.
Anyway, Atlas will be released. We'll be releasing the Caligula Effect, known as just Caligula in Japan, for PS Vita via the PlayStation Store in the Americas and Europe on May 2nd. Quick about the students at Kishimai High School, enjoy a blissful experience filled with classes and daily performances by the intoxicating virtual idol Mew, and that's the Greek letter, or is that the I don't know. While many students are quite content with this idyllic lifestyle, a few of them have uncovered a terrifying truth about their lives. Everything is a lie. The quote unquote perfect world they inhabit is actually Mobius, a virtual reality construct created and ruled by Mew. The protagonist discovers this secret and must join with a group of other enlightened students who call themselves the Go Home Club to escape. Great, you're playing as the fucking InfoWars crew. however, it's like, you're woke as fuck. However, to do that, they must fight brainwashed students called Digiheads, battle nefarious musicians like Slipknot and Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, I'm Disturbed.
Yeah. And face their innermost traumas to truly become free.
Now, it sounds like a Persona copycat, and it basically is. But if anything is taught on Twitter has taught me anything, is that Ryoga Sotome played this game, said it was terrible, and I trust his judgment because he also said Tokitoa was bad, and it ended up being not as bad as he said, but still rather mediocre. Wait. So don't play it.
Ryoga Sotome, as in Ranma?
Yeah.
Like the character played this, or are you talking about the actor?
No, someone on Twitter called that.
Did you? Oh, okay. Did you say Slipknot, Mung? Did you say Slipknot?
Yeah, I was like, evil musicians. I was like,
which is a combination of Ryoga and Rama Sotome.
let's breathe this in a little bit of Slipknot. So it stops the ache, but it's made. God, that's a great song. Great song.
Anyways, none of those musicians will be in this game because Japanese producers such as Oster Project, 40MP with a capital P.
I love
164 Cosmo with a capital M at Buso P with a dash P, sorry, capital P.
Yeah. I love Slipknot, and I love the name of their album. It's called Volume 3, The Subliminal Verses. I love it. That's awesome. All right, Caligula Effect. It doesn't have anything to do with the Malcolm McDowell movie, does it?
No.
That's kind of why I said it's not going to be nearly as interesting.
I've never seen that movie. Is it worth watching, or is it just a set
fest? It is a film that's worth having seen. I'll put it that way.
Hmm. Interesting. I'll have to take a look at it. All right, last story. Let's go whoever didn't go last. I think that was – Eric, you take the honors, man.
PlayStation 4 is getting Momodora, Reverie Under the Moonlight on March 16th, so next week. Yay. Or rather near the end of the next week. But because I'm pretty sure next Friday is the 17th, so Thursday's a weird day for a release date for a PS4 game. But anyways, it says about a year after its PC debut, Momodora Reverie of the Moonlight is headed to PlayStation 4. Bomb Service announced the game's North American and European launch date of March 16th. And it's a Castlevania-inspired side-scroller that follows a shrine maiden fighting all sorts of monsters, and it's supposed to be set up as a prequel to the entire series. You can download 1 and 2 on itch.io for free, and then you can buy 3 on Steam.
Looks really good.
Which is weird, because this game's actually more polished than those other three games.
Looks good. I'm looking at the trailer right now. It looks like something.
I reviewed it back when it launched a year ago.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yep. It looks like a good game. We did cover this.
It is hard, though. It's difficult. It's very easy to get yourself killed, is what I mean. But other than that, if you learn enemy patterns, it's not so hard, difficult. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Once you start getting more health and better weapons, it gradually becomes easier.
Yeah. All right. I think that's the end of the news, right? Right, gents? No more.
Yeah, it looks like
no more news. We already went through the homie discounts. That's the Steam deals that are going on. No Twitter questions this week because Breakman is off.
Also, the name Reverie Under the Moonlight is a clear reference to Symphony of the Night.
Yeah. Anybody have an item of the week?
Or rather, week? Nocturne in the Moonlight.
Anybody have an item of the week this week?
Not really.
I could talk about the exchange I had with some fucktard on Facebook.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it, Eric.
About a post that I made. I can read the entire exchange if you want. I have to look for it first, though.
No, just
so you can get back to me.
Just – okay. I'll do mine. We don't need to hear the whole conversation, just the gist of it, Eric. I'm going to go with who Jimmy Dore calls Donnie Tiny Hands, also known as the President of the United States. He's just a – anytime he talks – when he tweets, first of all, he's going to get in trouble because he likes – I don't know if it's him or his staff that likes to delete his tweets. But first of all, on the internet, once you tweet out something, it's out there. It's forever preserved. You know what I mean? Secondly, he could get in trouble for that. Like they sent a letter to the White House saying don't delete those tweets because those are presidential archives. So – He's heading for some big trouble. The Russia thing, the deleted tweets thing.
The guy, what's his name, John Flynn? Confessed to like being a to actually working as a foreign agent. And Trump was like, yeah, and basically the media, he was like basically blamed the entire thing on the media. It's like, no, this was actually real shit that
Yeah. It's just a matter of time for this dude. He's on his last legs, man. I'm giving it 6 to 8 months and he's going to be out of there. It's crazy that we've had to, we've had to listen to this dude talk for one. Like anytime he talks, have you heard him? He's like, when he says thing, it's always tremendous. Who knew healthcare would be so complicated? Like everybody but you, dude. You know what I mean? Like everybody but Donald Trump knew that this was a complex issue. And that stupid Republican bill that they put out is retarded, man.
It's going to get a lot of people killed. I mean, it's simple as that.
Yep, 30 to 40,000 people. They're just not thinking. There was a cartoon that I saw that explained everything so perfect. Like it couldn't have been more perfect. If you look up that cartoon on the Republican healthcare bill, it's awesome. It's really cool. I'll try to find it and put it in chat. So, all right, Eric, do you have your item of the week?
Yeah, I found it. Well, this is actually from a couple weeks ago, but I did the show. Let's see, last week I just rushed into the show, so I didn't have time to set it up. And the week before, I forgot to mention it. So, basically, I made a post that says, fuck this administration, that is all, free the press, hashtag.
Yeah.
This loser out of nowhere named Oscar says the last one too. And Tony Ponce, I don't know if you know who he is, but he used to work at Destructoid. But he replied to them and says, one, that article is about withholding info from the public, not about blocking specific media outlets. The Obama administration, too, the Obama administration did try to bar Fox News, but the rest of the media outlets stood in solidarity and refused to conduct further interviews. Unless Fox was a lot as well. The Trump administration has upped the ante by a considerable margin. Three, Obama's not a president anymore, by attempts to people say, see, the last guy was just as bad, so lay off this one, feel desperate. And then this is where it gets really me angry here. He said, and then he responded by saying, withholding any information that isn't a national security issue while claiming transparency is wrong, which is correct, but that's not the point here. But it says, I agree, Obama took cap-and-trade measures and nothing really got done. Three, if you stood by and said nothing while the administration pushed the limits of its power but complained when the next one does the same, it feels like crybabyism. Nobody ever said that, so fuck this guy. But he says, but thanks for trying to white-splain it to me, Tony, which shows this guy's ignorance because Tony Ponce is actually Puerto Rican. But so I basically got angry and made my response. And I said, Oscar, you don't think before you type, do you? Trying to derail the main point of the article by doing a, but remember this thing the last guy did, and trying to give us a purity test or shitty red herrings that only serve to make you look like a weasel is trying to project. No one ever said that Obama didn't do bad shit, and it's presumptuous of you to assume we never called that shit out either. Speaking for myself, I'll call on anyone doing stupid shit. Bill Maher, Sam Harris, Trump, literally anybody. You rushed in to be confrontational the moment you saw this, didn't you? Who looks like the crybaby? Trolling makes you look dumb. And that's all I'm going to feed you, because nobody feels the trolls. I could have responded to him, but I stuck to my word. And actually, he gives a weak response. I was half-heartedly reluctantly agreeing to your thoughts. Someone took a swing at me, and I countered. That's it. Whatever. But, yeah, and I think Mug responded to him at one point.
I want to bring up something that Dungeon Buster said here. He said, withholding information, like tax returns?
Tax returns.
Yeah, that's – I think that's unconscionable for a president not to release his tax returns. What a douchebag. What a fucking douchebag, man.
Not to mention that being a pathological logical liar and being in the president's seat is very dangerous. He should be removed because he can't – he's incapable of telling the truth, period.
Yeah. That article that I was talking
about – politicians lie all the time, but I think there's a point where they don't lie, and he can't help but lie.
There was a it was on Vox, I believe, VOX.com, which I kind of like Vox. They have some interesting articles. There was an article there that had – let me see if I can find it on Vox itself. No, I can't find it. But if you search on Vox for – the Republican health care bill explained by a cartoon, I'm sure you'll find it. And it's actually really, really good. And Freak 5 says that's as douchey as scalping tickets. Shut up, Freak 5. No way, man. Come on. All right. But yeah, it's on Vox.com. Vox is an interesting website. I kind of dig it. But that whole conversation that you had, I mean, it kind of explains itself, man, the way that people think. Like, I'm not a big Obama fan, but Obama did nothing like what Trump is doing right now with the press. Like, every chance the dude gets, he's saying – there was a tweet that he put out that said – and he said – he reiterated it at the big conservative convention that they just had – that the press is the enemy of the American people, which is just patently untrue. I have my own problems with the press, but
– Well, the press is the fourth estate. They are the watchdogs of democracy. That is what they are supposed to be.
They're supposed to be. The major ones are not. The smaller internet ones definitely are.
I don't know about that. The thing is shit like the Young Turks, you know, there's still a whole lot of bias at play.
There's some bias.
But there's always going to be bias at play, no matter what source you're looking at. But
I kind of like them though, because like they do point out both sides of the issue. You know, they definitely take one side for sure, but at the very least they'll point out both things. You know what I mean? And that's important.
And they won't try to downplay the significance of things either, like Fox News does regularly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sucks, man. Anything else on that, Mug or Eric?
Other than that guy's a lame ass.
Yeah. All right. What have you been playing, Mug?
Actually, pretty much the only thing I've been playing this week has been Arkham Knight. if I decided to go back and like, you know, work on getting the like all the Riddler trophies and shit. And like,
yeah, pretty fun. I played that game a little bit. It's pretty fun. It's not as good as what was that, Arkham City or something?
Arkham City.
Yeah.
I mean, I still really enjoyed it. You know, the Batmobile is the weak point of the game, but the rest of it is fantastic. So.
All right, let's move on to Eric's. What have you been playing?
I've been playing. Oh, I finished East Origins. I did all three scenarios, so I'll hopefully write a review this weekend or Monday. It depends on how much time Fierce takes up, because I couldn't put down Breath of the Wild last weekend because, one, I didn't have a whole lot of time to play it because I was doing other things, but. Because I had to get East done, and then I did that, and I went and saw a movie. I did watch a movie, but I didn't go to the theaters to see it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I've been playing Ace Attorney Investigations, but I put that down to play Blaster Master Zero for a bit.
Yeah, cool.
Played that this morning.
Yep, Dungeon Buster just wrapped.
It's weird. They call it Blaster Master Zero, but it's more like a straight up remake or reboot of the series. And the only reason I can think of them calling it Zero is because the second game that was released on the Game Boy Color is actually the what they're aiming for is that game's the Blaster Master game that they went with for the storyline. Mm-hmm. And this game takes place before that.
Cool.
And they still have the frog jumping in the portal, or well, it was a cave in the original, but now it's like a portal to another place, I guess. Yeah. But
the original game didn't even have a story, so
yeah.
And like the Japanese version, yeah, they added in the bit with the frog.
Yeah. Anyways, it's still there, but the reason why the frog left is because he was using it as a experimental test subject and escaped, so that's what happened this time. Instead of Little Billy and his frog, I know his name is Jason, but he might as well be a Little Billy Arch type character. Has a pet frog, and the pet frog went into a hole that's there for no fucking reason.
Yeah. Freak Five's talking about.
Oh, and I found a tank.
Freak Five's talking about his freezer quest, how he had to go do some shit with the freezer. Dungeon Buster just wrapped up playing Horizon Zero Dawn. He's playing Ghost Recon Wildlands and a little bit of Nier Automata. So there you go. That's a nice little.
Oh yeah, that came out on PC today, I think.
Yeah.
I'll wait till Steam sale because I don't have money for that.
Yeah, I've been playing.
I mean, I do, but I'm saving it for like Persona 5.
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit of Mortal Kombat X10, whatever the fuck you call it, XL is what it is on the box, but it's
extra large.
I guess, man. And it's fun. I like the fact that they included like some easier fatalities to do. I like that. I think it makes the game a million times more fun. It to me, anyways.
Fatalities in the new Mortal Kombat games are easy to do anyway.
Yeah, but I like the fact that you can just hold one button and, you know, press a button and then you do a fatality. I like that. You don't have to worry about shit. You know, you just do it. I like that. And I did play a little bit of Arkham Knight as well. So yeah, I've been playing both those games. All right, let's move on to our stinkos. Mug, do you want to?
Yeah, I'll start. This is a bit of news that kind of seems to have flown under the radar, but a transgender woman was dragged from her home and beaten to death, partially on video. And she is 42-year-old. Her name was Dandara Dos Santos. And, she's like, you know, begging a group of men to spare her. They're kicking her and beating her with a, you know, wooden plank and shoes before a crowd of people that are laughing and cheering and shouting in Portuguese, "Kill the faggot!" And basically, they beat her down and then they plop her into a wheelbarrow and they took her off to an alley where they beat her to death.
Ah, that's awesome.
What kind of monster do you have to be to fucking cheer at that?
Oh, that's probably almost as egregious as murdering somebody that you're cheering it on. Like, those people should be in fucking jail, man. That's You want to know the definition of the word deplorable? That's it right there. That's deplorable. Mm-hmm. I can't stand that shit. Like when people stand around and watch a fight and they're cheering people getting the shit beaten out of them, or unless it's like professional boxing or MMA, shit like that. Like I hate like regular fights where people just egg people on. I don't mind watching like YouTube stuff like that. Like sometimes I'll watch compilations of fights or stuff like that. But the people cheering makes it weird to me. You know, that's to me unconscionable. I don't like that. And this is awful. Like anybody that's taken from their home in general, but I mean that's just ridiculous. I don't know. That's just dumb. And that's where we're at right now. I know that it didn't happen here, did it? Did it happen?
No, it was in Brazil.
Brazil, okay. Which is still ridiculous, but because Brazil, I thought was very trans.
Not
friendly.
So much. I mean, like there's, you know, maybe in Sao Paulo or something.
Yeah,
Rio, but
yeah, Rio, you know, or places like
Brazil
that.
Is a very large country.
Yeah, it's really big. That's a shame. I hate to hear shit like that, but we're close to shit like that happening here. I mean, that's awful. Don't like to hear it. All right, Eric, let's move on to yours.
All right, I have one. Republican Jason Chavez demonizes poor people by equating buying an iPhone over getting health care. It's a video I found. It's a Young Turks video, but they show footage of what he was saying.
Basically, I saw this in the news too, and he was almost my item of the week this week, Jason Chaffetz. He basically said, if you want health care, don't get an iPhone. That's what he was saying, yeah. Which doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because what the Republicans have called for will make all of us pay around, I think it was anywhere between $25,000 and
$4,000 more. This is in light of the Trump care plan.
Yeah, 2500.
Which is even worse than Obamacare.
Well, Obamacare wasn't awful. Like it's
no.
But
it did what it was supposed to do, and people were helped by it.
Jason,
now they're at threat of losing those benefits and possibly dying as a result.
Yeah, so he's basically asking people to get rid of every single luxury that they have just to afford, which it's not going to work. It's too much.
Oh, and did you see the thing on Fox News where they were talking about something like 98% of and they put in scare quotes poor. Family, you know, if poor households have a refrigerator.
Yeah, they can't be poor if they're buying iPhones and refrigerators, right?
Well, that's the thing. What's funny is, like, and, you know, they're complaining about, you know, like, a microwave was another one. But I'm thinking, like, okay, if CPS goes to a household and they find you don't have a means of keeping, you know, perishable food fresh,
right?
They'll take your kids away,
right? Right. If you don't have.
That's why you need a refrigerator.
A refrigerator.
Yeah, I mean, this is not your. The point is, a refrigerator is not a luxury item. It's a necessity.
No, that's a necessity for sure. Microwave is debatable, man. At this point, it's almost debatable whether or not a microwave is a necessity. If you think about it, the energy cost of warming something up on your stove versus warming it up in the microwave, it's not even close. It's not even close.
What are you favoring?
I've got a stove, but I'd much rather have a washer and dryer.
No.
What are you saying takes more energy, the microwave or the oven?
The oven, for sure.
The oven is, you know, it's much less efficient for heating.
Yeah.
Like you can heat a meal through in a few minutes as opposed to like 45 minutes to, I mean, like essentially if you're, you know, what you can get by with, you get a cheap microwave, a toaster oven, and a hot plate, and you have and you have the means to cook essentially anything that you can get. I mean, it is, you know, it's like this is why these things are popular for dorm rooms.
Yeah. It sucks. Like the way Republicans view people is kind of sickening. I mean, like not every Republican is a repulsive.
They're not even real Republicans. They deface the name of conservative.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying, Eric. I was just getting to this point about not every Republican is a piece of shit. You know what I mean? But more and more, I'm thinking that percentage is going up. You know what I mean? Like the percentage of actual pieces of shit Republicans is is kind of skyrocketing.
And most of these Republicans are also Christians, and the reason why they're so numb to the plights of the poor and don't realize they're getting fucked over by voting for these morons is because they've been indoctrinated just like they were through their religion.
Yeah. Did you see Betsy DeVos meeting with the transgender group after that bill was passed to kind of take away transgender rights? Did you see that shit? No. Bathroom thing? I'm like, really, Betsy DeVos? Like the most conservative Christian evangelical you could possibly get? Like, who's going to change her fucking mind? Nobody. Ah, deplorable indeed, man. I don't even know what to say. Freak 5, good luck on your beer run. He's going to get beer. He'll be right back, he says. All right, let's move on. Oh, my stinko is this fucking stomach bug I've had right before the show. I was like literally going to the bathroom, and I was like, I told Eric, I'm like, Eric, I might have to go back and forth. Luckily, I haven't so far, but man, my stomach today has just been awful. Sucks.
Yeah, mine's been kind of messing with me, but I think it's just stress.
Mine is just stress and medication, I think. Like this new med that I got is just fucking my stomach up. I got to stick with it though, but whatever. All right, let's move on to Sweetos of the Week. Mug, you're up first.
Well, things are finally coming together for my move. I've got my old, U-Box thing for getting my stuff set up, and it's coming tomorrow. And I'm going to get all my stuff packed up, and I'll be flying out within the next I'm expecting within the next two and a half weeks.
Yeah, that's
and
exciting.
And start my new life.
That's cool, man.
And
but you're moving to Colorado, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And also I saw Logan today, and it was both really good and absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, I saw Logan as well. We'll be talking about that later in the show, spoiler free, hopefully. Eric, do you have a Sweeto?
I think I had one, but I forgot to put it in. And now I can't remember.
No worries, man. My Sweeto was also Logan. Like I said, we'll be talking about that.
I guess I could say I feel like I'm finally starting to get over this post-nasal trip.
That's good, man. I've never gotten over mine. Mine just comes and goes as it pleases. Let's see. Dungeon Buster said Logan was good. I felt the same as Moria Mug.
I think I had Logan in there last week, so I decided just to remove it for this week.
Yeah, no, you did. We're going to move on to reviews right now. We might as well get into it. Logan, guys, this is the final Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman in it. I do have some questions.
Now his name escapes me. Picard. I'm just gonna say Picard. My brain.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. I was gonna say Sir Patrick Stewart. I was like, no. Yeah.
Let's get into Logan, guys. I really like this movie. I think it's one of the best, if not the best. It's definitely the best Wolverine movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, granted, that's kind of damning with faint praise, but I would say it is at least as good as X2.
Yeah, I would say too. I really like
X2. I liked X2 up until the very end. I didn't care for that.
I think Logan was slightly better though.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Because of its
smaller cast, it's more character focused.
I like it. I have some questions about it though. I don't want it to be spoiler. I might ask you guys off air about it, but I thought that making it a rated R movie was the best thing to ever happen to a Wolverine movie. That's the way Wolverine movies should have been from the get.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Never mind the fact that it's a Wolverine movie. It's like, God, it was so nice to watch an R-rated action movie again.
Yeah. Take the superhero element aside, it was just a good action movie, like a really well.
Yeah.
Directed, acted, scripted action movie, and
but the movie didn't really need the villain.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not about the villain. I mean, that's one thing that it's very common in most superhero movies that the villain is just not that, not all that interesting. It's like, I think that, the only exceptions really being, like the Dark Knight and to a lesser extent, the Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I think Green Goblin was a good portrayal. I thought they did a good job with the Green Goblin. But yeah, you guys are right. The villains are almost afterthoughts in these movies. Age of Ultron did something interesting with its.
Although I want to know, is this movie's storyline based on a comic?
Yeah, Old Man Logan, and it. The comic book was highly, highly acclaimed. Like, it was a big deal. I think they did some different things from what I remember. I remember reading Old Man Logan not too long ago, but it escapes me at the moment. But I think they got it pretty much right.
There's a one bit where Charles he's talking about something horrible that he's done, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, see.
That was probably the first outbreak of his migraines that are causing, like,
the
earthquakes.
Yeah, we haven't seen any of that yet, which is interesting. There was also something to do with Wolverine about what's going on with him that I'm kind of curious to know what that was, why he's the way that he is. But I don't know.
Like, why his health was failing?
Yeah.
I always thought that it was, weird. Adamantium poisoning, like they suggest in the movie, that was put there by the bullet that he got into his brain when he got amnesia.
Yeah,
and then this movie is partly based on the original X-Men movies rather than the ones that came after the Days of Future Past.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the second X-Men trilogy and this one don't really have anything to do with each other. Yeah.
How could you not feel for those characters in this movie? It was.
Yeah. And I don't know what the girl's name was who played Laura.
She was great.
She was fantastic.
X-23,
especially the bit where I was going to say something. I was like, yeah, that's kind of spoilery stuff.
Yeah,
where she reveals something and, she's the pestering scene. And I was like, when she really goes off on him, I was like, oh, wow.
You know what?
That's really impressive.
That actress, she's going to be something to watch in the near future. Yeah. She's got a huge career.
I do wonder, though, whether or not this movie will lead to another New Mutants storyline or something.
It could, which would be fantastic. There wasn't much criticism of the movie that I saw other than a little bit of filler. I talked about this with Arrival. I know you and I disagree a little bit, Mug, on Arrival as far as editing some of the things out. I did think they could have reduced this movie by about 20 minutes or so, and it would have been just as effective. I do like the extended action sequences with the blood. I thought that was a great addition. The other thing, to go back to the girl that was playing X-23, she was fantastic, man. And I like the fact I like the fact that they didn't give her a lot of lines at first, because it made what she said towards the end super effective. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Her physicality, I don't know if she was doing her own stunts, but whoever was doing the fight scenes for her, the little girl, was like, holy crap, that was breathtaking.
And they didn't hold any punches with that shit either, man.
Oh, and the fucking the truck and tractor combination. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's some straight up Universal Soldier shit.
Yeah, that was some good shit in that movie. I wish they made more Wolverine movies like that, but sadly we'll probably won't see another Wolverine movie.
The teaser for Deadpool 2 was amazing.
I didn't get a chance to see that, but
it's on YouTube.
Okay, cool. I'll have to watch that because I really enjoyed Deadpool. I'm hoping that these two movies, Deadpool and this Logan movie, lead to more rated R action hero movies.
Who directed the movie, by the way?
Nick Mangold, which he directed the other Wolverine movies, I think, too. But this movie, he did a – there was one – one. It was a
Maybe the other two suffered from a lack of a good writer and they couldn't get a good one.
I don't know, man. But I'm telling you, there was
The original one was undercooked in the first place. I mean, like you could tell that the effects were like just never quite meshed.
They were never
finalized when they like doing the CG claws and shit like that. I'm just like, yeah, that was not your best decision.
There was a. It was kind of a minor thing that I noticed based on my knowledge of acting and directing and stuff like that. But there was a scene where they did kind of a 360 panoramic view in the dark. And I give the cinematographer a lot of credit for it, that I felt was just a great shot. It wasn't anything major. Nothing really happened in the scene, but man, that the director had the vision to put that scene in there and it just kind of set the stage for what came next. And it was pretty cool, man. I dug it. It was weird to see Eric LaSalle in the movie too. I don't know if you guys noticed that guy from ER, the original ER. He was.
I never watched ER.
Yeah, nor did I.
Yeah, I watched a few episodes. I liked it, but that Eric LaSalle was in there. He's. I don't know. It's been a while since he's been in anything that I know of. But everybody did their job very, very good in this movie. And Patrick Stewart.
I have to say. Snarky and cranky Professor X is the best Professor X.
Yeah,
the bit where he shows off the yes, I took the fucking pill. You know, that shot, I was like, I busted up.
he's really good. Dungeon Buster says making this rated R was the right move, and it definitely was. I'm giving Logan a. Shit, I've never done this before, but I'm going to give it 10 out of 10. I'm going to give Logan a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, do the same.
Yeah,
I'm going to go 9 out of 10.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think I've ever in the history of Grindr's given a movie a 10 out of 10 before, but I really like this movie. I thought it was one of the better hero movies in a while. I am excited Thor, but... I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm hearing like the buzz on that one's like really positive, which is interesting because the first two Thor movies were just kind of they felt like placeholders.
Mm-hmm. I like the first.
What do you think about Spider-Man Homecoming though?
I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm stoked for that movie too. The one
guy's name? Tom Holland.
Yes,
I think it is.
Yeah,
I loved his take on the character in Civil War. I'm stoked.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that and Marissa Tomei. I'm really excited. The one that I'm waiting for is Infinity War 1 and 2. Those are the movies
to be 1 and 2. It's only going to be one movie.
No, they're doing two. They're doing two movies.
Well, they're making a single movie now.
What?
No, they're doing they backed off of that. Basically it was after the second the fourth Hunger Games movie, it didn't tank, but it did much worse than they were, wanting it to. They're like, okay, maybe theater goers are getting kind of, fatigued by these. You know, let's split the last, version. Let's split the last movie thing. So they're paring it down to a single movie. That's been common knowledge for like a year now.
No,
which I'm worried now that the movie won't be as good because of that.
No, I know what they're doing. They're doing Infinity War and an untitled Avengers sequel. It's still going. It's still going to be two Avenger because
they make it a cliffhanger and they give it a new name.
The funny thing about it is that series could be like a series on its own. Like it really could. Like it could be a series of like four or five movies, but they can't fit that whole saga into one movie. They got to do at least two movies for it because you got three components. You got Thanos getting all of the stones, which is its own thing. Thanos quest, basically, if you read the comics, which I highly recommend. I love it's one of my favorites. Then you have the Infinity Gauntlet, then you have Infinity War, which they don't necessarily have to get into Infinity War, but the Infinity Gauntlet on its own is fantastic. So there's at least two movies worth of material there. So unless they plan on making a 3-hour movie, which I wouldn't doubt, then two movies would be pretty good. But I don't know. I'm excited for Infinity War for sure. I'm excited for a lot of things though. I'm excited to go see Kong Skull Island, to be honest with you.
Now if only Disney can make a rated R Marvel movie.
Yeah.
They need to step up their game.
Dungeon Buster says Infinity Avengers Galaxy. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Eric, you got some more reviews, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
I've got Justice League, Throne of Atlantis, and Justice League, Gods and Monsters, and Get Out. All right. I guess we should do the Justice Leagues first.
Yep, go ahead and do the Justice Leagues.
Justice League, Throne of Atlantis is, of course, the introduction of Aquaman and the DCU version of the films that – I think everything's just DCU now, but they hadn't had Aquaman in From War, so now he joins up. But there's an incident with him and obviously his brother, and his brother's name is Worm, I think. And it's basically chronicles that and how his brother is basically trying to usurp the throne because he's angry that Arthur is being picked. So he tries to create terrorism to justify making an aggression towards the surface world because he believes that they should rule over them. And he looks I think when they did the artwork for this movie, I don't think they had finalized the design yet because he does look slightly different than he does in later Justice League movies because I saw them kind of out of order. But I think they did a good job. And I actually made a mistake last week. I thought I misremembered about Aquaman being in Flashpoint Paradox. And he was in that, but he wasn't in War. So I fucked up there. But if you saw War before you saw this, Cyborg looks slightly different because apparently he got upgrades at some point. So he doesn't look quite like he does in War because he was pretty bulky then and then he slimmed down. And he looks like more like what he should look like.
I saw early photos of him in the live-action movie, and he looks kind of bulky in the live-action movie, too.
Yeah. Well, he's still bulky. He's just – he's not that kludge of metal that he was.
Yeah.
In War because, like, he had just merged with that technology, and they didn't chip it down and stuff, give him new parts.
Mm-hmm.
But I give this movie – let's see. I'm going to give it 8.5.
Wow, that's good. That's cool.
Probably check it out. As for Justice League, Gods and Monsters, it's an alternative take on the Justice League that takes place in an alternate reality where the basic premise behind it and how it starts is what if Superman was actually the son of Zod and I think her name was Lara, Superman's mother. And basically what happens is he raids their lab as the planet's going down. And
isn't it Martha? Martha is
– no. Oh. No, that's
his Kryptonian mother.
Yeah. Anyways, he basically he finds out what they're up to and he tries to stop Jar-El from contributing his genetic material or basically I think it's what the machine does is it takes the DNA, puts it – into a machine, and then it synthesizes sperm and then puts it into the egg. I think that's what's happening. So basically he shoots off his hand and gets his own thumb pricked and then puts his own genetic information in and sends him off to Earth. And yeah. So now we've got Son of Zod Superman, and it's actually a darker world in this. But it's like a slightly more screwed up world than normal Justice League world, but it's not super dark like it was in Flashpoint Paradox. Basically, he and his group of Justice League members are more like anti-hero vigilantes than they are actual superheroes because they don't mind killing people, and they actually work for the government. And Amanda Waller is actually the president instead of the chief of security. Which I thought was funny. But there's this whole story about them. They do their own origin stories. And, like, Batman's in there, but he's not Bruce Wayne. He's, like, some guy named Kirk. And he's pretty much a vampire because of an incident he had with – he was trying to treat himself with a medication that he was using nanite technology and some kind of serum, and it went horribly wrong and turned him into sort of vampire guy. So he's got fangs and everything and super strength. But his outfit looks a lot like Batman Beyond outfit, which I thought was interesting. This is all sleek and blue and everything. And instead of Diana being Wonder Woman, it's some woman named Becca who lives on the planet that neighbors Apocalypse. And the funny thing about Apocalypse in this movie is that Darkseid's actually not quite as evil in this alternate reality, and he gets murdered quite easily.
Huh. That's interesting. Darkseid is the equivalent of like a Thanos, I believe, in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, I mean, like I mean,
the movie I can't remember Wonder Woman, but they have like some guy hawking like merchandise based off the Justice League members, and he's calling them Wonder Swords, so she's Wonder Woman.
What were you gonna say, Mug?
I remember seeing something about like, you know, because well, Marvel and DC have copied from each other like many times, and I can't remember. It's like I actually think Darkseid may have come first.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
But I mean, there's several where it's just like, yeah, there was this comparison video saying like, okay, which one, you know, which came first, Darkseid or Thanos? And, you know, and you know, saying like, you know, here's the, like or Deadpool and Deathstroke, like which one came first? Well, Deathstroke did, and stuff like that. And but I remember being surprised by several of them. I was like, really? That one's, you know, like DC did it first or Marvel did it first, you know, like completely the opposite of what I was expecting in those cases.
Anyways, by the end of the movie, he basically, I don't think they ever mention the Son of Zod's name directly. They just call him Superman the entire film, which is just, it's like, what's his real name? But anyways, he was, instead of being taken in by Martha and John, he gets taken in by Mexican immigrants. So I think it was interesting where his angle was, where he's partly the way he is because he's been the victim of discrimination, and he did play that angle a little bit sometimes, as to refer like the talking about the incompetence of the American government and stuff like that. But anyways. I just thought it was interesting, but the plot wasn't all that great. I'd give it an 8 because I'd kind of like to see more being done in that universe, because by the end of the movie, there's only 2 Justice League members.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. All right. And you think
there's going to be a cyborg counterpart in this movie, but they just destroy that possibility completely.
Hmm. All right, that's high praise for both of those. DC usually does a good job with its animation, but let's move on to your review.
I don't know if it's based on a pre-existing story or what, but it could just be an original movie they decided to make.
Freak 5, you're something else in chat. You're exiled. All right, let's
– blackout drunk and waking up in a pull your own puke is better than trying to sage.
Get out of here. Eric, you also have a review. This will be the final one for the evening. Get Out, which Mug, I believe, reviewed last week. If I remember Mug's word, he said, get out and see it, is what he said.
I did not say that because that's extremely lame.
I won't contribute that much more to it, but I didn't really get to talk about it last week because I think you just kind of glossed over it.
Yeah.
Well, you said that you said mostly that you were annoyed that what you had to say about it was mostly that you were annoyed that your stomach was bothering you had to miss parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did like how it played on the themes of like racism and slavery. So that was nice. It's like, oh, this family isn't racist, but they're going to treat you like a slave because they're selfish people.
Yeah. Jordan Peele is getting rave reviews for his directorial debut. I believe this is his directorial debut.
Yeah, it is. Or actually, no, maybe not, because there was also Keanu. It is definitely his, you know, I don't remember if he did that, but I looked up the numbers for it. Like, it had a budget of $4.5 million, and when I, like, checked it out, it had made close to $90 million. So, like, yeah, yes, it is an unqualified success.
I don't know what Keanu's about, but is it worth seeing?
I don't know. It's the one about the kitten, where, like, this kitten gets kidnapped, and they have to go and rescue it.
Mm.
And it's the... And, you know, typical Key and Peele kind of humor. So, it's, you know, it's going to be very, like, you know, kind of silly off-the-wall stuff.
I like Keanu.
I've never watched Key and Peele.
I never did either, but I do like the movie Keanu, all right. I thought it was okay. He did not direct Keanu. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it was his directorial debut. And you know what? It's unexpected. A horror movie from a comedian like that, completely unexpected. Oh, but
should I watch It's Always Sunny?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm going to get the Netflix set up for that then.
Yeah, you definitely
That's a lot of seasons to go through, though.
You know, but
they're also short. They're also like the, you know, 6 to 10 episodes per season. So
this gives me hope.
Are they like 30 minutes a piece, though?
Yes. Yeah. It's
not like a 45-minute deal.
It's a body sitcom is basically what you're dealing with.
Yeah. This gives me hope. This Get Out movie gives me hope for the new Halloween that's coming out, the reboot, remake, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I was not pleased with the Rob Zombie version of Halloween, but
I thought it was fine. I thought people were just fucking whiny.
No, it's terrible, man. It totally took the spirit out of that movie. It was just awful, man. Like
okay, that's
awful.
It's awful because it sucks. So like, no, what made it suck?
Well, if you let me.
Yeah,
speak,
I had a lulz.
Either of you let
I
me.
I didn't have a Sweeto, but I did have a lulz. So we
go for it.
I tweeted out a video of my nephew basically commentating on his Minecraft play. I basically said, "Future LP-er."
Yeah. Yeah. The reason why that movie sucks so bad is because it took everything great from the first film and left it out. That's why it was
okay,
awful,
but that doesn't tell me anything.
Hold on,
it doesn't,
if you let me talk, I'll explain. But if you don't,
man,
okay, let's move on. Fuck it. yeah, fuck it. I'm not gonna sit here and just go back and forth. What else do we got, guys? Any other movies?
Thanks for not explaining it at all, then.
I tried several times, but both of you guys interrupted several times. So let's just move on. Do you guys have any movies that you want to say? Is anybody going to see Kong this weekend? Skull Island?
Maybe I'll see it on Monday or Tuesday.
Do you have any interest in seeing that, Mug? Because I do.
No,
I not actually really. Do. I do because... I like the scale of it. I think this is one of those movies that you kind of have to see in a theater. I'm going to have to...
Stupid B-movie Kong.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's setting up the Godzilla versus Kong movie, which... Has anybody heard anything about that Godzilla Japanese movie? It was supposed to be
Shin Godzilla. Yeah, I've seen it. It's fantastic.
Is it?
It's
where did
yes,
you see it?
Although I will say that if you're expecting it to be like an action movie... You're going to be disappointed.
Wow!
Is it more
akin to the original?
Somewhat, yes. It's much more steeped in like unless you're decently familiar with the extent to which the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki impacted the Japanese consciousness, you're going to miss a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a surprisingly cerebral film, and it's so very non-American movie that I think a lot of people will just not get it.
Yeah, like what do you mean? Is there anything specific that you can tell us? Like you
know? Well, there's a couple of people that it tends to focus on. But there's no clear protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially the human characters are all members of like the government and this task force, and most everything that goes on is there's shots of what's happening with the creature in the city, and then most of the actual dialogue takes place within offices, like an office complex type thing,
mm-hmm.
like stuff where they're talking about the governmental response to this. And like, okay, well, how will the people react if we do this and that kind of thing? And it's like, a lot of people would probably find it extremely dry. It's like if you're going because you want to see because all you want to see is Godzilla wreck shit, then you're going to be disappointed because that's not the focus at all.
Hmm. I don't mind a movie like that, but I do want to see Godzilla fuck up some shit. You know, like there's
destruction to be had. But one thing that you'll notice is that like the CG for some stuff is, you know, like very convincing. The CG for Godzilla himself is not, and that's intentional. Because it's like it's meant to look slightly fake, just like the original does.
Yeah. You'll see
the buildings getting destroyed and everything. Like, it looks good. It looks, you know, convincing and everything. But like, see, yeah, Godzilla himself doesn't mesh quite as well as you would think it does. And like, that was like a conscious decision on the part of the director.
I think that's a good decision. That's an homage to the originals. You know how fake the original looked. I see. Freak Five says, I want to see a reboot of Masters of the Universe. I think we've all been waiting for that, Freak Five. Dungeon Buster says, I want to see Kong, but I'll probably be next week. And Freak Five read that as Dungeon Buster wanting to see Dong. I don't know what's
Well, I can arrange that.
yeah, exactly. Freak Five says, I was about to send him a private message on Twitter. And let's see. I need to refer to the movie as Skull Island instead, Dungeon Buster says. Yeah. It'd probably would be a safe bet around Freak 5, Dungeon Buster. I'm looking here. Is it out in the United States yet? How did you see it? Was it in select theaters or what?
No, the disc isn't out yet.
Oh, okay.
I downloaded a copy to watch.
Gotcha. You know, estimated budget for that movie was $15 million and made $78 million. So that's a quantifiable hit, right? I mean, anytime you make three or four times your budget, you're doing really, really good. Even taking marketing cost out, that's really good. Let's see, what else do I have? Okay, I guess we can do this, guys. I'm looking at the list of topics here. I'm not keen on doing any of these today because that might take too long. But are there any movies this summer you guys are looking forward to see? Like, you just can't wait to see a certain movie? I know we talked a little bit earlier about Homecoming. I'm really looking forward to that. What else is coming?
Like your usual spate of like them, you know, like at this point, your usual spate of Marvel movies. I'm really looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, that's coming soon. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have any investment in it because, like, I remember watching the original movie and just it didn't do much for me. I should probably go back and rewatch it. But like the live action Ghost in the Shell, I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah, it looks good. That looks good.
What was it? I can't remember the name of it. And it's like it looks like this is going to be it'll probably be a terrible movie, but it looks like it'll be a fun terrible movie. But it's the one about like all these people in the office building where everyone gets locked inside and you're like, you know, there are like, you know, 78 people here. 30 of you need to be dead within the hour or you're all dying.
Oh, that's the Belko experiment. Yeah.
Yes, the Belko experiment.
That looks amazing. I couldn't remember
the name of it, but yeah, that looks like fun.
There's a movie on Netflix. If you like that concept, there's a movie on Netflix called Circle that you might like.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I like that.
You mean the circle?
No, just circle. Yeah, just circle.
It's a no budget movie. Like the one person I actually recognized in it was Julie Benz.
Yeah. There's hardly anybody in that movie of note. You know, after Dexter, Julie Benz hasn't been up to much. You know.
I knew her as Darla from Buffy and Angel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what's coming out this
Are you guys excited for the new Alien movie coming out at all?
I haven't seen any of the Aliens movies at length, other than maybe the second one, and even then I think it was edited.
Wow, you should watch the first two.
I've only seen the very end of Alien and most of Aliens, but probably an edited version of it.
I'd watch both of those.
I think I saw most of the edited version of 3.
Yeah, I realize that, Freak 5. He says, Frank, you are literally waiting.
But I hear you could just skip the fourth movie.
The fourth movie, I just pretend, is not even involved. I do I like the third one more than most people.
I think the third one is it has a lot of problems, but it's also a testament to to David Fincher as a director that he actually managed to get the movie made at all with all the studio interference.
Yeah, the studio really fucked that movie up big time. To go back to my point, Freak 5 says, you are literally waiting to see these movies when you say you can't wait. Yes, I understand that, Freak 5. It's an oxymoron, but you know what I mean.
I'm just looking at a list of movies coming out in summer. It's like, Baby Driver, The Boss Baby, who gives a shit? King Arthur, no clue.
Boss
Power Baby. Rangers.
Power Rangers looks interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Power Rangers looks like a Netflix watch for me. The Zookeeper's Wife, Going in Style, actually looks like it'll be fun. That's the one.
By Going, you mean Dying?
No. Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, what's the other guy's name? Alan Arkin. the three like senior citizens who decide to knock over a bank. I could not give less of a shit about the Fast and the Furious movies. Guardians of the Galaxy, of course. Alien Covenant.
I want to see Alien Covenant.
The thing is, I'm very leery of that movie because I hated Prometheus.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay. And when I say okay, it was like okay on the lower end of the scale, but it was serviceable. It was watchable.
Baywatch, who gives a shit? Snatched, that's the one with like Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn. Annabelle 2, could not give a shit. The Nut Job 2, no clue. Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, I've still never watched past the first one. Captain Underpants, Wonder Woman, which I am curious about, and The Mummy, which that doesn't look good to me at all.
I kind of want to watch The Mummy. Even ones that are coming sooner, of course, we talk Kong Skull Island. I want to watch that. Guardians, of course. Alien Covenant, I'm interested. Later on in the year, Star Wars Last Jedi, of course. Everybody's going to probably go see that. Beauty and the Beast looks interesting to me.
I actually do want to see it. It looks good. I hear good things about it.
Yeah. Justice League, I want to see. Spider-Man. Thor.
Justice League isn't coming out until next year, is it?
Nope. 2017. Thor Ragnarok later on in the year. John Wick, I have not had a chance to see yet, but I do want to watch that. Pirates of the Caribbean, who gives a shit? Kind of interested in Blade Runner. As you said, Fate of the Furious, fuck that movie. Power Rangers, I'm curious. I've never seen the cartoon or any of the movies or anything like that. Wonder Woman looks interesting. War for the Planet of the Apes looks really good. Transformers.
Yeah, I am really stoked for that because I loved it. I thought that, what was it? Rise of the Planet of the Apes. The first of the new trilogy, was it War for the, and it wasn't War, it was like maybe Rise of the Planet of the Apes or whatever it was. The one that had James Franco in it.
That was great.
It was pretty good. But the second one was like, holy crap, I loved that movie.
Yeah, the second movie was fantastic.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I think, was the second one.
Dark Tower looks interesting. It, the remake of It. Ghost in the Shell looks actually kind of interesting. I do kind of worry about...
Hey, Frank, did you ever get around to seeing Man on the Ledge?
I think I have seen that movie, actually. Ghost in the Shell, Cars 3, who gives a shit? Trainspotting 2, The Mummy, I'm interested in. King Arthur looks interesting. What else here? Despicable Me, let's see. Rings already came out. And that's about the long and short of it. I don't see anything super, super. Annabelle 2. It's got to be better than the first movie, is the way I look at that. And that's about it. So, I don't know. There's some good ones coming up. I'm sure we'll talk about them as they come, gentlemen. But, I'm looking forward to a lot of movies. Dungeon Buster says, I'll watch The Mummy. I'm a sucker for action-adventure flicks. And then Freak 5 has a link that I'm trying to click on here. What's going on here? Can I click on this damn link? I can't see the link dungeon. Oh, here it is. Whatever it is. It's a picture of something, but it's taken a while.
I don't even know if I should watch Trainspotting 1.
it's worth it. It's an alright flick.
No, the original movie is fantastic.
Yeah, it's
the only part that turned me off was the whole shit in the blanket thing.
Yeah.
I saw part of the movie once.
Wow, teen hit and killed by a Des Moines road grader appears to be accidental. Wow, that sucks. Ugh. What does he say? Happened outside of the high school he graduated from. Coworker was waiting to pick up her son, saw it happen, and of course he's his son's phone died. Anything else that we have before we end the show, guys? Anything you want to talk about before we get off the air?
I don't have anything in particular.
Stay safe because it's still snowing somewhere.
Freak 5 says, will they revisit the nastiest bathroom in Trainspotting 2? LOL. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I hope so. That'd be awesome. All right, let's do our plugs. Let's start with you, Mug.
All right, you can find me basically everywhere. It's at Moria Mug, MORIYAMUG.
And soon in Colorado. Hopefully he'll lose his harmonica in the transition. That'd be fantastic.
No, I'm going to make sure that is in my carry-on.
Oh, my God. all right. Eric, your plug, sir.
You can find me at EricRPG on Twitter, and you can find reviews on sites like BostonBashBrigade.com, TotallyGen.com, GameTactics.com, FogNetwork.com, and AusGamers.com. And there's a YouTube channel, Funny T-Man, which I haven't done anything lately, but I do have a Patreon. So if you like my reviews and you feel like I should get paid and you have the money to do so, you're welcome to it. I'm actually going to orate the address out because I think people don't bother reading. https://www.patreon.com/ Patreon, that's patreon.com, user U equals 4237202, and that's all I have to say.
Awesome. Mine are follow our Twitter account at RP Grinders. If you tweet us, we will definitely mention it on the air. If you have a question, comment, if you want to add maybe an idea for a new segment, if you like our segments, don't like our segments, whatever you want to talk to us about on Twitter, we will definitely give us a would you rather, like Freak 5 does almost on a weekly basis. Stuff like that. Ask us questions, you know, whatever you want to do, just give us a shout on Twitter at RP Grinders. You can follow myself at Frank Branches, although I don't know how interesting that would be.
Not very.
WickedRadioNetwork.com has some interesting shows. Check those out. And that's pretty much all I got, unless you guys have anything else. You guys have anything else? All right.
Nothing here.
All right, everybody. Everybody in chat, I want to make a shout out to Freak 5 and Dungeon Buster. You guys are awesome. Thank you guys so much. And stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. You all.
Wait, I have something to say.
Oh, go ahead.
Highway to the Mummy Zone.
Oh, my God. That's fucking awful. Stay safe this weekend, guys. Till next week. We're out.